Hit it, Phil.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no. It isn't the breeze. It's Jackson time. La-da-da-da.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Tonight we have one of the nicer sounding episodes we've had in a while, which is nice to hear. And this is a fun episode that was redone for television with Jimmy Stewart and his wife Gloria. Tonight's episode features the Coleman. Just love it when the Colemans visit. They're not going to visit too often anymore because this might even be one of the last ones or the last episode. I'm not sure, but because the Colemans, and they'll mention on tonight's episode as well that they have their own show now, the Halls of Ivy, and they got that radio show basically because of these appearances on Jack's show. They were so popular appearances that they could get their own show, and it's written by the writer Quinn. I'm forgetting his first name. Anyway, he was the writer for years and years of the Fibber McGee and Molly show, but he left Fibber McGee and Molly in order to do Halls of Ivy. And I should present you guys sometimes with some Halls of Ivy presentations. They're really top-notch shows as well. Anyway, tonight's episode, let's see. I'm not going to give anything away other than it's always wonderful to hear the Colemans, and just to hear their interaction with Jack and Mary is great. The reason that they didn't use the Colemans on Jack's TV show too much, so they did make an appearance on his TV show, the reason they didn't use them too much was because by the time Jack's show really got up and running, the Coleman, unfortunately, Ronald Coleman died in 1990. In Jack's show, though it started in 1950, was only doing episodes sporadically throughout the 50s, and even by 58, they were still only doing about a half season's worth of shows every year. It wouldn't be till 1960 that they bumped it up to doing a show, a weekly show, and in that time frame of 60 to 65 is where Jimmy Stewart made a lot of his appearances on Jack's show, and a lot of times taking on the roles that were originally the Colemans' roles in a lot of shows, and this is one of them. The thing missing on the TV show, I mean, I love Jimmy Stewart, but I find I miss Mary on the TV show, because in 1960 on, Mary wasn't on the show anymore. She had retired by that point. Jack mentioned somewhere, either in an interviewer's reading or something, where he was trying to get Mary to do one episode in one of the 60-61 seasons, somewhere in there. And I think it might have been this actual episode, the redone one with Jimmy Stewart, that he was trying to get her to do, because it would have made it a really classic television episode if she'd been in it. But because she wasn't, they had Jack with one of his, the operators, I think, is who he was supposed to be with, and they were ditzy, and that made it fun to have them be with Jimmy Stewart. But it just gives it a whole different feel to this radio show with Mary in it. And Phil does a great job in the part where he's in this small portion of this radio show. So a lot of good scenes, a lot of good pieces in this episode. I love the way it starts. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it tonight. We'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy-go-lucky, be happy-go-lucky, strike, be happy-go-lucky, go lucky strike today.
I add up figures all day long, and this adds up to me. There's
just better taste in Lucky Strike, cause LSMFT.
That's absolutely right. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
A racehorse jockey never knows just who will set the pace, but when it comes to tasting smokes, those Luckies win the race. Take this tip. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky. Be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette, and we mean that. You see, Lucky's have a taste all of their own. It's perfect. Yes, Lucky's give you mildness, richness, and smoothness. Everything you want for more smoking enjoyment. And the reason is fine tobacco. For fine tobacco and only fine tobacco always gives you a better tasting cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So light up a Lucky, and you'll agree with the millions of smokers who know Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Yes, for complete smoking enjoyment, be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills. On this beautiful day, we find Jack and the gang in the backyard practicing archery.
Do I hold the bow like this, Jack?
Yes, Mary. Now pull the string all the way back. That's it. Now take aim. Let go. Hey, that was pretty good, Mary. Not bad. You know, you only missed the bullseye by 3 inches.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Liv.
Now it's my turn. Stand back a little, Mary. You too, Phil. Watch me hit the bullseye. Here I go.
Move the target.
Nobody move them target, Chief. You just stink them.
Oh, stop. Now hand me another arrow, Mary.
Here you are.
Now stand aside, everybody. Here I go. Ow! Ow!
Hey, what happened?
The arrow fell out and he got his head caught in the bow.
Well, if you kids would stop bothering me, I can hit that target at 100 yards. I'm an expert marksman.
Some marksman. You have to put a bomb sight on your finger to dial a phone.
Bomb sight. Yeah. Now, if you'll cut out the talking, I'll show you that I can do it. Ready? Aim?
Good luck, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, be quiet. Now, everybody, be quiet.
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 Yeah. Ready? Aim?
Quiet!
Dennis, please. Now, if everybody will shut up, I'll show you. Phil, get away from in front of that target.
What, and get hit?
Now, don't be funny and stand aside. Ready? Aim?
Oh, Mr. Benny, would you let Mary hold your bow and arrow for a minute?
What for?
I want to bend over and tie my shoelace.
Don't worry, I'm not aiming at you. Now stand back, everybody, and give me room. Ready? Aim.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
little Donzo.
Hi, Don. Nothing but interruptions. I'm trying to get a bullseye.
You couldn't get a bullseye if you were Elsie the cow.
Well, that's a clever remark. I didn't know they sold jokes in bottles.
Yeah, you can get them in a pinch.
Now cut that out! And since you're such a wise guy, Phil, I'll bet you a dime that I can take this bow and arrow and shoot an apple off Don Wilson's head. Now put up or shut up.
Hey, wait a minute!
Okay, Jackson, it's a bet.
Now just a second!
Here's my dime.
Here's my dime.
Okay. Here, Mary, you hold the money.
Gee, and I'm not even bonded.
Just hold it. Now, Don, take this apple.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I'm not going to stand here with an apple on my head and take the
chance. Don, Phil and I are betting. What have you got to lose? Huh?
It's too dangerous. I'm not going to do it.
Don, have you read your contract? On page 12, volume 6, paragraph 3, is the apple shooting clause. Which also includes tasting my food when I go to NVC banquets. Now, Don, put that apple on your head and go stand by that tree.
Oh, all right.
Now, watch this, Phil. Ready, aim. Don, would you mind turning that apple around a little?
Why?
There's a worm peeking out at me. It makes me nervous. I think he's peeking on a worm. You can't tell one end from the other.
They had the same trouble with me when I was born.
They did not.
Then why did the doctor slap my face?
I don't know. I don't know, but I'm sure he had a good reason. Now, quiet, everybody. And, Don, stand perfectly still so the apple won't fall off your head.
Jack, I'm not going to stand
Don,
here.
Don, put that apple back on.
Oh, all right.
And put it in the middle of your head. Don't try to look sporty. Okay, now, watch this, kids. Ready, aim. What happened?
The arrow went right through a window in your house.
Oh, my goodness. Rochester, where are you?
I'm in here, boss, in the den.
Well, thank heaven. Well, I'm calling you. Why don't you come out?
I can't. I'm pinned to the wall.
Pinned to the wall? Rochester.
Oh, it's all right, boss. It only went through my sleeve.
Oh, then let me... Wait a minute. Why have you got the phone in your hand?
When I saw the arrow coming, I dialed Forest Lawn.
Oh, stop. Now, hold still, Rochester, while I pull the arrow out of the wall. There.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Now, what do you want?
Do you mind if I tell you something?
No, what?
If they made me a king, I'd still be a slave to you.
Well, that certainly came out of left field. What made you say that?
Well, that's the first line of the song I'm going to sing on the program. Do you want to hear it before I go home?
Yes, if you promise to go home right afterwards.
Okay. Okay.
If they made me a king, I'd still be a slave to you. If I had everything, I'd still be a slave to you. If I ruled the night, stars and moon so bright, yet humbly I plead to you. If my friends were a crowd, I'd turn in my knee to you. If I ruled the earth, what would life be worth? My knee to you. If I ruled the earth, what would life be worth?
Very good, Dennis, very good. But when you do it on the show, I want you to be sure. Well, he kept his promise. He went home. Sometimes that... If that's Dennis again, I'm going to fire him. If they made me a king, I'd still be a... I better keep him. I'm a baritone. it's you, Mr.
Collins, Joseph Collins from the Office of the Collector of Internal Revenue. And you remember my assistant, Herbert Thompson?
Yes, yes. How do you do?
How do you do?
Come right in, gentlemen. Sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't expect to see you fellas again. I thought we settled my income tax problem last week.
Well, so did we, Mr. Benny. But the Department of Internal Revenue still feels that you're not taking full advantage of your legal deductions. We want to be fair with you.
Fair with me?
Yes, we still feel that any man who earned as much as you did last year must have spent more than $17 on entertainment.
Well, that's all I spent, $17.
That's what we told the head of our department, but he just wouldn't believe it.
So he called the chief of the Federal Income Tax Bureau here in California and explained it to him.
Oh, and what did the chief do? Huh?
He called Washington, D.C.
And what did Washington do?
They're throwing the whole thing into the U.N.
Gee, I never thought that I'd become an international issue here.
Well, now, Mr. Benny, and please believe us, yours is such a unique case that we're very anxious to help you.
I know.
Well, now, you've listed an item here, taking Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman to the Macambo, and you spent $3.90.
I took Miss Livingston, too.
And you only spent $3.90? Are you sure?
Well, I can't remember spending any more.
Well, perhaps if we talked to Mr. Coleman, he might remember the incident.
Well, he might recall something about it. I don't know. He lives right next door.
Oh, good, good. We'll drop over to see him. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
It's unbelievable, Herb. Unbelievable.
In all the years I've been with the Internal Revenue Department, I've never come across anything like this. Have you?
Only once. I checked over a man's return, and for that year, he only spent $22 on entertainment.
Was he in show business?
No, he was a prisoner at San Quentin.
Oh.
In solitary yet. Oh, say, that must be the Coleman's house over there.
Oh, yes. I wonder if they're home.
Shall I fill your cup again, Ronnie?
Yes, please, Benita.
Lemon or cream?
Cream.
One lump or two?
Two. You know, Benita, some people drink this Hadacal straight.
Change clothes. We have to have dinner and the picture starts at...
I'll see who it is. Now, where's my... Oh, here it is.
Oh, Ronnie, why do you always take a pen along? They may not even want your autograph.
Well, maybe you're right, darling. Coming. Yes?
Are you Mr. Ronald Coleman?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're from the Office of the Collector of Internal Revenue.
Yipe!
Now, calm down, Mr. Coleman. It's not in reference to you that we're here.
It's concerning the income tax return of your neighbor, Jack Benny.
Good, good.
I'm afraid... afraid you don't understand. You see, last year, Mr. Benny earned $375,000.
$375,000?
Yes, and according to his return, he spent $17 for entertainment.
That much?
But, Mr. Coleman, only $17.
Well, why would he have to spend more? He borrows everything from us.
Well, we'd like to come in and talk to you. Well,
of course, of course. Come right in.
Who is it, Ronnie?
It's two men from the income tax department.
Yikes!
No, darling, no. It's not about us. Right this way, gentlemen. This is Mrs. Coleman.
Pleased to meet you.
How do you do?
I'm Joseph Collins, and this is my assistant, Herbert Thompson.
How do you do?
Now, when are you sending Mr. Benny to jail?
No, Mr. Coleman. There's nothing wrong with Mr. Benny's tax return. In fact, it's just the other way around. We don't think he's being fair to himself.
What?
We're sure we can get him a refund, but Mr. Benny doesn't seem to be interested in getting any money back.
I see. Benita, I'll humor them. You look in the paper and see where they've escaped from.
Now, Mr. Coleman, we hate to bother you, but Mr. Benny has an item we'd like to talk to you about. Now, this one right here. $3.90 for taking you and Mrs. Coleman to the Macambo. Do you recall that night?
Mr. Collins, that and the time the garbage truck turned over on our front lawn are two incidents that are burned in my memory.
Well, just to satisfy our curiosity, would you mind describing that evening to us?
You see, we'd like to know how anyone could take a party of four to the Macambo and only spend $3.90.
Well, perhaps I can enlighten you. It was early last year, and Jack had invited us to the Macambo. The evening started off normally enough. As a matter of fact, we danced a while before ordering dinner.
I enjoyed dancing with you, Ronnie.
Oh, thank you, Mary, but the pleasure is mine. Here, let me help you with the chair.
Gosh, Benita, it was wonderful dancing with you. Well,
thank you, Jack.
I never enjoyed waltzing so much.
Yes. It's a shame the band was playing a rumba.
Oh, I hadn't noticed. Well, there they go again. Would you care for another dance, Benita?
Well, all right.
Mary, would you like to dance again?
No, thanks. I'm a little tired. I've been on my feet all day.
On your feet?
Yes, it's Saturday. I still help out at the May Company.
All right, then we'll just sit here and talk.
Say, Ronnie, do you mind if I ask you something personal?
Personal?
Yes, I keep hearing rumors that, well, that you don't like Jack too much.
Well...
I know he has his faults, but... But he means well.
Well, maybe so, but why can't he mean well to somebody else? If it were Jack alone, it might not be so bad, but it's those ridiculous people that are on the show with you.
What do you mean?
Well, that Phil Harris person. It's amazing, the character he portrays on the radio. Does he carry on like that in real life?
Shall we look under the table and see?
Oh, come now, Mary. You're making that up.
Yes, but the odds are in my favor. Maybe I just didn't guess the right table. But, you know, he isn't a bad fellow.
Gee, Benita, you really are a swell dancer.
Well, maybe it's because I'm so fond of dancing.
You must be. Whoops! Oh, I'm sorry, Benita. I didn't mean to step on your toe. Did it hurt?
No. Thank heavens you're wearing tennis shoes.
Well, I like them. They're so comfy, you know.
Oh, Jack, wait a second. You'd better get your handkerchief. I accidentally smeared some lipstick on your lapel.
Oh, that's all right. I'll wipe it off when we get to the table.
No. If Ronnie sees it, he'll be terribly angry.
Oh, I didn't know Ronnie was jealous.
He's not, but it's his tuxedo.
Oh, I thought Rochester returned it. Gee, this is a catchy tune. Hey, look.
The night is young, the skies are clear. It's light of lucky, you like it, dear. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. LSM, MFT, LSMFT, that's for me. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. You can tell when you puff that Lucky Strike will never be rough. Yes, sirree, you'll agree that Lucky's our mile.
They're made of fine tobacco,
round and firm, fully packed. A perfect cigarette, that's a fact. It's so L-S, it's so M-F, it's so L-S-M, it's so M-F-T. It's delightful, it's the lovely, it's the happy, the lucky.
Here's our table, Benita.
Did you enjoy the dance, Benita?
Well, yes, it was interesting.
Here, Benita, let me pull your chair out for you.
Whoops! Pulled it too far.
Here, Benita, I'll help you up.
Darling, did you hurt yourself?
No, no, it's all right.
Just a little accident.
Jack, why don't you get us some menus? We want to order dinner.
Certainly. Oh, waiter... Waiter. We want to order.
Shall I bring you a finger bowl?
A finger bowl?
Well, you're not going to eat with those dirty hands, are you?
Now, wait a minute. Why is it that I always have trouble with you? Every time I run into you, there's an argument. What have you got against me?
Well... In the first...
I'm asking him!
Jack, forget it. Waiter, please give us a menu.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Now, let's see. What are you going to have, Benita?
I think I'll have shrimp cocktail, roast beef rare, and a baked potato.
Very good, madam.
I think I'll have a Caesar salad, royal lobster, and some broccoli.
Yes, madam.
I'll have some consomme, lamb chops, medium rare, and green peas.
Yes, sir. Now, how about you, Arthur Murray?
I don't know yet. I'm still looking at the menu. Let's see. Shrimp cocktail, $1. Soup, 85 cents. Caesar salad, $1.50. Roast chicken, $2.75. Filet mignon. Whoops!
For heaven's sake, Jack, order something, anything.
Well, all right, I'll have some oysters.
Yes, sir. Half dozen or a dozen?
A dozen.
Fried or on the half shell?
On the half shell.
A blue point or Olympia?
Blue point.
Male or female?
Wait, how can you tell if an oyster is male or female?
We look at their driver's license. I knew you'd ask!
Go and bring us our food.
Oh, all right.
By the way, Jack, you still haven't told us the reason for this little party.
Well, this marks, Benita, this marks the 19th anniversary of my first appearance on radio. Imagine, 19 years. Ah, how time flies.
It's certainly dragging its feet tonight.
Yes. What? What'd you say, Ronnie?
Jack, do you still enjoy doing radio? I mean, after all these years.
Yes, yes, Benita, very much.
You know something, Jack? I've never told you this, but I heard the very first radio program you ever did.
Gee, Ronnie, I didn't know you were such a fan of mine. You listened to the very first program I did?
Yes. How have they been since then?
Oh, they've... Huh? Ronnie, you mean to say that you haven't listened to me since then? In 19 years?
Well, Jack, you see, it's like this. We're out every Sunday.
But how can you find places to go every Sunday?
It isn't easy.
Well, I can imagine. But then if you go out, you must listen to the radio in your car.
Oh, we do, Jack, we do.
Oh, well, what's your favorite program?
The Halls of Ivy.
Oh, yeah! Very good. I have friends on it. Well, here comes our food.
Would any of you like dessert with your coffee?
Not me.
Nothing for me, thanks.
Well, I might as well get the check.
No, no, no. Wait a minute, Jack. I'd like to pay the check.
No, no, Ronnie. I wouldn't think of letting you. After all, it's my party.
Oh, I know, Jack, but I'd feel better if you let me pay. And I'm sure you would, too.
No, no, Ronnie. I insist. I invited you, so it's my party.
No, no. I tell you what, Jack. Let's split the check.
Well, it's okay with me, Ronnie, but you think it would be fair to Mary and Benita?
Mary, did you hear that?
Why do you think I'm working Saturdays at the May Company?
I heard you, Mary, and I'm taking the check. Oh, waiter. Waiter, I want to pay the check.
Yeah, I know. I heard you.
Well, why don't you hand it to me?
The photographer isn't ready yet.
Now, that'll be enough out of you. You're better off paying more attention to your job. Some waiter. Look at the tablecloth and napkin. I've never seen such dirty linen.
Will you do them for us, Wong Fu?
That's beside the point. I've never seen such a rude, impertinent waiter in all my life. I've got a good mind.
Don't you stamp your tennis shoes at me.
Well, I've taken about all I intend from you. I'm going to get satisfaction even if I have to take you out in the back alley and thrash you to within an inch of your life.
Jack, Jack!
Let me alone, Mary. I'm going to show this guy once and for all that he can't get away.
And Mr. Coleman, that was the evening you spent with Mr. Benny at the Macombo?
Unfortunately, yes.
But with all the food you ordered, it must have amounted to quite a bit.
Yes, it was about $40. I know, because I finally paid the check.
Oh. Well, now, oh, wait a minute. Well, how come Mr. Benny's deducting $3.90 on his income tax for that night?
Well, that was for cleaning my tuxedo he was wearing. He got punched in the nose and knocked down.
Who punched him? The waiter?
No, Mary. She's a lovely girl.
But first,
friends, we're off to opening day in the ballpark to see who's getting a lucky strike.
If you would catch real smoking joy, then let me call the pitch. Get Lucky Strike, the perfect smoke that's always mild and rich. Yes, fans, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
I've umpired 10 full seasons and the players all agree. My best decision is my choice of LSMFT. It's fine tobacco that makes Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, stop a minute and think about this. The really important thing about a cigarette is the quality of the tobacco that goes into it. And that is exactly why the makers of Lucky Strike carefully select ripe, light, naturally mild tobacco. The kind of tobacco that makes Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Yes, fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco always gives you a better tasting cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So light up a Lucky. See how smooth and mellow it is. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Yes, be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Good night, everybody.
The Jack Benny program is heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris.
Folks, this is Phil. If you'll ask your neighbor, you'll hear him say that if you want the best, buy RCA.
That's right, Phil. Inch for inch, your best buy in television is RCA Victor 19-inch. It's big, better, more for your money, and here's why. RCA Victor's new picture pickup brings in the best possible reception. Pictures are clear, steady, and bright. And RCA Victor television is million-proof television. Quality proven in over 2 million homes. Best of all, RCA Victor 19-inch television is yours for little more than what was once paid for 10-inch television. And remember this, only RCA Victor owners can buy the RCA Victor factory service contract for expert installation and maintenance. So ask your RCA Victor dealer to show you 19-inch television. It's available in a wide range of table models, consoles, and combination instruments. And by the way, here's a big RCA Victor record value. It's the new Singer Single Series, 54 all-time Tin Pan Alley tunes by nine of America's brightest recording stars. For some time, Alice has been after Phil to join an exclusive country club. Phil has shown no interest. So a week ago, Alice took matters into her own hands and sent an application to the Beverly Hills Country Club. As we look in now, William has just arrived at the Harris home and brought the mail in with him.
Good morning, Philip. Hello, Alice. The mail just arrived and I brought it in.
Oh, thank you, Willie.
Here's a package that came for you, Philip.
Hey, is it from Kansas City?
Yes.
Oh, boy, it came. I clipped the coupon out of my magazine over a month ago and I thought they'd never send it, but they did. They sent it. They sent it.
They sent what?
My Jungle Jim loincloth.
Jungle Jim loincloth?
With an attached smoke signal sender.
Phil, do me a favor.
What?
Put on your Buck Rogers flying belt and zoom off to another planet. Phil, just read the rest of your mail.
Okay,
huh?
Okay. But I was going to get you one, too. Hey, what's this? A letter from the Beverly Hills Country Club. What would they be writing to me for?
Oh, Phil, I didn't want you to know about that yet. You see, I wrote them. Your birthday is coming up, and I wanted to give you this as a surprise.
Oh, Al, she shouldn't have done it.
Done what?
Gone out and bought me a whole country club. Just think, a country club all my own. I've arrived.
Phil.
Oh, this'll make Daddy so happy. Now he can quit his job as locker boy at Bimini Baths.
Phil, will you please stop? I didn't buy you the country club. I just applied for a membership.
Alice, I don't want to belong to no country club. There's a bunch of stuffed shirts at those places.
Philip, it won't hurt you to meet a more intelligent class of people. Why, there are several prominent scientists among the members. I know they have an anthropologist, geologist, and a philatelist.
So what? Most of my friends are philatelists. When you live the way they do, you gotta be.
Philip, do you know what a philatelist is?
Certainly. A philatelist is a guy who believes that when it's your time to go, you're gonna go.
A philatelist is a person who is interested in stamps.
Oh, fine, fine. I'm gonna join a country club just to meet a guy who works in a post office.
Hey, Phil, why don't you open the letter and find out if they accepted your application?
Okay, I'll open it, but what's the use? Of course they accepted it. They're probably begging me to join. Let's see what it says. I knew it. Listen to this. Dear Mr. Harris, we have received your letter of application, and after thoroughly checking your character, references, and background, we find you accepted. However, we do not have an opening in the club at this time, but if we are ever in need of a bartender, we'll get in touch with you.
Bartender? They have a lot of nerve.
Now, wait a minute. There must be some mistake. Wait a minute. Oh, there's more here. Yeah, here it is. P.S. If you're interested, we do not have an opening. Oh, no. If you're interested, we do. That's right. We do have an opening in another department. And if you'll bring your own whisk broom, comb, and brush, we'll supply the liquid soap and towel. What are they talking about? I ain't no barber. They got a lot of gall sending me a letter like that. I'm a big man. I don't have to... Uh-oh, that's probably the president of the club now. Realize he's made a mistake and he's here to apologize. I'll make him grovel. I'll make him sorry he ever started anything with me. You got a lot of nerve sending me a letter like that. You better start apologizing.
All right, I'm sorry, Curly. But tell me, how'd you know it was me who sent you that extortion letter?
All right, Brimley, all right, it's you. What extortion letter?
Oh, you didn't get it yet. Well, when it arrives, there'll be 3 cents postage due. Just deduct it from the money I demanded.
Remley, what are you talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking about? I come in the door and you ask me to apologize. What for?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you was somebody else. Just got a letter of rejection from a country club.
Small fry. I got a letter of rejection from the government.
They don't want you to become a citizen, huh?
Please. I tried to enlist in the service. They turned me down.
That figures.
Look at this letter they sent me.
Let me see.
Here you are.
Oh, yeah. Dear Mr. Remley, we appreciate your attempting to enlist in our branch of the service, but unfortunately, you do not quite measure up to our qualifications. Signed, Colonel M.C. Mapes, recruiting officer for the WAX. Remley, the WAX are for dames.
I know, but they said if you enlist, you could choose your own branch. That's the only one that appeals to me. What were you rejected for?
I don't know. Alice sent an application for me to join the swanky Beverly Hills Country Club, and they turned me down. I can't understand it.
Oh, Curly, let's face it. That highbrow set always considers people like us below them.
What do you mean, below them? I got more talent than all of them put together. I'll bet there ain't one of them in that club that can sing like me.
That is entirely possible.
Don't be sarcastic. I happen to have a splendid voice, and I can prove it.
Oh, don't bother, Curly. I take your word for it.
No, when I set out to prove something, I prove
it.
No,
believe me, you
don't... I'd like to prove it.
There's a certain dish they always make in the South, and when you eat it, boy, you'll find it melts in your mouth. I'm the guy who ought to know how good it can be, 'cause my mammy always used to fix it for me. And it's southern fried chicken I'm raving about. It's the kind of food that I just can't do without. Here's the recipe, try it and you'll see. When you serve it, everyone will say, call your butcher for the chicken, he'll do the rest. Tell him what you're cooking and he'll serve you the best. Clean off all the feathers, still there's nothing but skin. Cut it into pieces and you're set to begin making southern fried chicken that's fit for a king. Pass another plate, well look at there, there's a wing. Here's the recipe, try it and you'll see. When you serve it, everyone will say, hoo-hee! Get some flour you have added seasoning to. Roll the chicken in it and then here's what you do. Fry it all in deep fat until people appear. They're sniffing and they're saying, what you cooking in here? They'll be glad when you show them that chicken to rub. Pass the plate again, son, I just can't get enough. Here's the recipe, try it and you see. When you serve it, everyone will say, ha! Now you've got the recipe, so why hesitate? Try the southern dish and man, you'll say that it's great. Serve it with potatoes, make them french fried, you know. And don't leave out the chicken, he's the star of the show. 'Cause it's southern fried chicken this recipe's for. Don't pass me the plate, son, I can't eat anymore. Maybe I'll try just one more gizzard.
Curly?
Yeah.
I got news for you.
What?
You didn't prove nothing.
Look, Remley, will you listen to me? I didn't want to belong to that club, but after that letter they sent me, now I'm determined to get in.
Why don't you forget it, Curly? You know how those socialites are. Unless your family came over in the Mayflower, you're not one of them.
What are you talking about? I've got Indian blood. My family was here when the Mayflower arrived. Mother sold turkeys on the dock. I don't know if you know this or not, Remley, but I'm a direct descendant of Prince's Neck in the Woods. And my great-great-grandfather was that fearless warrior, Chief Yellowbelly. I'm as good as anybody at that club, and I'm going to go down there right now and have it out with
Curly, him. They won't even let you in the front door.
I'd like to see him try to keep me out. Now, come on, we'll get Alice and go down there and assert ourselves. I'll show them that they can't keep Wonga Harris out of any place.
For the last time, get out of this club and stay out!
Well, Phil, are you going to lie there, or are you going to get up and try it again?
Go ahead, Curly, try again.
Frankie, they just threw me out 3 times.
They're just playing hard to get.
They don't want me, and I know why. They got restrictions.
Well, what kind of restrictions?
They're anti-Cherokee. Fine thing. This is supposed to be a democracy. What kind of a country is this?
If you Indians don't like it here, why don't you go back where you came from?
Ugh on you.
Phil, trying to force your way in is not going to do it. The man said if some prominent person were to recommend you, they might consider your application.
Well, if that's all you need, you're practically in.
Who's going to recommend me?
Me?
You? Your recommendation couldn't get me into a Mexican jail.
Well, we don't know anybody who's going to recommend us, so let's drop the whole thing.
No, I'm not. If I could just get to see the president, I'm sure that he'd listen to me.
You're never going to get in that front door.
Maybe not the front door, but there must be a family entrance to this saloon.
There always is. Alice, you wait here. Frankie, you and I'll sneak around the back way.
All right.
Now, look. We're going to go right around the side here.
Wait a
minute,
and then... Curly, wait.
What's the matter?
There's a big window facing this alley. The guy who threw us out will see us go by.
Not if we crawl past the window. Now, come on, let's get down on our stomachs and just wiggle by.
Ooh, you Indians.
Come on. There. How you doing, Remley?
All right. But crawling along on my stomach ain't my idea of fun.
Quiet.
Well, what do you know? A curly had a gopher and its mate.
Oh, no, Julius. Curly, where'd he come from?
I turned over a rock, and there he was.
Fellas, you're finally getting some class.
What do you mean?
Crawling is much more refined than staggering. Why did you get in this condition so early in the day?
We're not in no condition.
Then what are you doing?
Well, Mr. Remley asked me to dig him up a date, and I think she's buried here someplace.
Is that the best you can think of?
On my stomach, yes.
Fellas, I don't want to get personal, but what are you doing here?
Well, if you must know, we're joining this club, and I'm crawling in to see the president.
Huh?
I mean, we have to sneak in to see the president because they turned down my application.
Naturally. Your crumbs don't fit in with this social crowd.
Listen, kid, we can mix with the best of them. We're loaded with joie de vivre. We have a lot of éclat, quite a bit of savoir faire.
Not to mention a whole case of Cavassier. We'd fit right in with these people.
Are you kidding? I can just see you guys at one of the club's formal dinners, especially Mr. Remley with his table manners.
What's the matter with my table manners?
Your etiquette is atrocious, your decorum is deplorable, and your demeanor is repugnant.
What does that mean?
You eat like a pig!
Julius, I got a good mind.
All right, Frankie, will you leave him alone? Don't spend no more time with him. Now, come on, we have to get in the club.
All right.
Hey, I wonder where that back entrance is.
You don't know, huh?
No.
I'll be glad to give you directions.
Well, that's the least you can do, kid. It's about time you did something nice.
Anything to help you guys. Now, first you crawl to the end of the alley.
Yeah?
And then you turn right.
Yeah?
And count off 5 feet. Remember now, just 5 feet.
Okay, 5 feet. Come on, Remley.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
I could have sworn that open manhole was only 5 feet away.
Hell!
Get us out of the sewer!
I wonder where they'll come out, Pismo Beach or Ocean Park.
I wonder what's keeping Phil and Frankie. How long do they expect me to stand here alone in front of the club? It's embarrassing. There's nothing to do, and... Oh, well, I might as well sing and pick up a few pennies from the passers-by. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see, I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let you go. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love.
Joy you may define in a thousand ways, but a case like ours needs a special phrase to say that we got the world on a string.
Life is a beautiful thing. Long as I hold that string, I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let you go.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my little finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love.
Said this was a rich neighborhood. I did 2 choruses and all I got was 18 cents. I used to do better with Rudy Valley. I wonder what's keeping Phil and Frankie. This is...
Here we are, Alice.
Well, it's about time. What took you so long to get here?
We missed the 2 o'clock bus back from Pismo Beach.
Yeah. You see, honey, we had a little accident. Well, we had to go home and change our clothes. And, hey, look who's getting out of that car at the curb. It's Mr. Scott, our sponsor. You know something? He's a member of this club. If he were to recommend me, I know that I... No. He wouldn't do it for me.
Maybe not for you, Curly, but he'd do it for me.
You?
Yeah. You know how he feels about me.
I certainly do. I hear he has his RCA engineers working on a scientific way to destroy you.
So that's how it happened.
That's how what happened?
Last week, Scotty gave me a television set for nothing.
Does it work?
I don't know. When my landlady tried to turn it on, she was electrocuted.
Stop with those wild stories. Mr. Scott wouldn't do anything like that.
Of course not. Remley, where do you get those wild things? I wish you'd stop...
Oh, hello, Harris.
Hello, Mr. Scott.
Oh, it's good to see you, Mrs. Harris.
Hiya, Scotty.
Remley. Are you still alive?
Mr. Scott, that was a terrible thing you tried to do to me. You shouldn't be bitter. Life is short, and you should love your fellow man before it's too late. How would you feel if I were to drop dead right now?
I don't know. But let's try it and see.
Say, Mr. Scott, you sure could do me a big favor. You see, well, I'm anxious to join this club, and well, you could recommend me. What do you say?
What's the matter? You're soft in the head or something?
Oh, won't you do it for little old me, Mr. Scott?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Harris.
Won't you?
I give up. I've always been a pushover for a pretty blonde. I'll try to get you and Mr. Harris in.
Gee, thanks, Scotty. That's some acting, Alice. 18 cents. Mr. Scotty, we sure appreciate this. You know, I can't wait to join that club.
Well, tie Remley to that hitching post and let's go in.
No, you don't. I'm coming, too.
All right, come on. Hey, Scotty, this certainly is a beautiful club you got here, and the president was very nice to us.
Yeah. Well, now that we're members of the club, Curly, let's step over to the bar and have one on the house.
Yeah.
Come back here, knothead. You're not members yet. You heard what the president said. The other members have to pass on you first.
Well, let's meet some of them. How about that motley-looking group over there?
What motley-looking group?
Those three corpses sitting in the corner. The ones that look like they're waiting for the coroner's report.
Those corpses happen to be three of our most distinguished members.
Well, let's go over and lie down and talk to them.
Harris, I don't know if you ought to meet them. They're very intellectual.
Well, that's just my type. Hey, if we can impress them, Frankie, we're as good as in it. Remley, stop dumping your ashes in that old man's ear trumpet. You'll burn his ear.
Oh, I thought it was a statue holding an ashtray. How was I to
know? Ouch!
Nice fast reflexes.
Remley, behave yourself.
Did you speak?
Oh, pardon me, gentlemen. I want you to meet two friends of... I mean, two people... Mr. Harris, Mr. Remley, this is Mr. Carruthers, Mr. Harrington, and Mr. Smythe.
Gentlemen, as I was saying to Carruthers, it is my firm conviction that the financial stabilization of this country is contingent upon sound economics. What do you think, Harris?
I think I better try another group. So long, fellas.
No, don't leave, Harris. We'd like to have the opinion of an outsider.
Well, you wait here and I'll go outside and get one for you.
Mr. Harris, we're discussing finances. What are your views on banking?
Oh, banking. Well, sir, I have found in my experience that banking is the best way to make a three-cushion shot. You put a little English on the cue ball and then kiss it right
up. Shut up, Harris.
Gentlemen, you'll have to excuse Harris. Banking isn't his business.
But it happens to be mine.
Oh, no.
I'm really an investment counselor.
Oh? Mr. Remley, perhaps you can give me some advice on a sound investment.
Gladly. I find that debentures far outstrip escrows and investments of certain fiduciaries should be detonated.
Remley, please.
Of course, these are purely speculative. If you're interested in a sure thing, I'd suggest Blue Boy in the Fifth at Jamaica.
Yes, and if that don't appeal to you, buy into Mark Dex Incorporated. I don't think you can lose with that at the present time.
Mr. Harris, just what business are you in?
Well, you might call me an artist.
Who might?
So, you're an artist. What school? Modern or impressionistic?
Oh, indubitably.
What do you prefer? Van Gogh or Picasso?
Well, Van Gogh I can tolerate, but I can't stand Picasso.
Mr. Harris, I'm sure if you tried, you could develop a taste for Picasso.
I doubt it. That Mexican food gives me a heartburn.
Mr. Scott, are these men members of our club?
No, they're not members yet. You see, they're on probation.
That's a lie! I don't know about Curly, but my parole officer gave me a clean bill of health.
Parole officer? Harrington, I believe I've heard enough.
So have I. Mr. Scott, we'll thank you to take these two Bulgarian friends of yours and throw them out into the street. And don't bother coming back yourself.
But, gentlemen, you can't throw me out of this club. It means everything to me. It's my life. It's my whole... My future. My everything.
Come on,
everything.
Let's go, will you? Get out of here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Scott. You're not mad at me, are you, Scotty?
No. I'm not mad at you, Harris. In fact, I'm going to have my engineers make you a television set. Just like the one they made for Remley.
I'll give you a pair of rubber gloves to turn it on with, Curly.
Alice and Phil will be back in a moment. You're sure to find many of your favorite songs on the 27 records in RCA Victor's spectacular new Singer's Single Series, a fabulous roundup of 54 all-time Tin Pan Alley song hits, sung with all-time perfection by 9 of today's greatest popular singers. Here indeed is a happy blending of yesterday's outstanding songs and today's leading song stylists. Perry Como's That Old Gang of Mine, Fran Warren flying Over the Rainbow, Dennis Day making Silver Moon Sail High Again, Dinah Shore evoking Orchids in the Moonlight, and many, many more unforgettable favorites. You can buy each record in this great RCA Victor series singly in either the conventional 78 speed or the more convenient 45 RPM speed, or you can add the entire series to your record library. So keep the old memories, keep the old songs at your beck and call. Make your selections from the 54 hit numbers in the Singer's Single Series, available now at your RCA Victor dealers.
This is Phil again. This is Cancer Control Month. You can strike back at cancer by joining the 1951 Cancer Crusade of the American Cancer Society. Support its vital programs of research, education, and service. Give generously to your local committee by mailing your contribution to Cancer, care of your local post office. That's Cancer, care of your local post office. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or records, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television.
Hedda Hopper tells the latest about Hollywood over many NBC stations.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I thought it was kind of fun when I found out this episode took place in Boston, being as I was just back in Boston. So I guess Jack and the gang and I were both in Boston the same time of year, just 70 years apart. 75 years apart. This is the show's from 75 years ago. I'm really enjoying these older episodes. I don't think I even had them in my collection a few years ago, but I never listened to them, and so it's just kind of neat to hear them, and this one is a pretty listenable quality and everything. The earlier episode I played tonight, I decided not to do a podcast for it and do both episodes, one because I wanted to play the Boston one, but also the other one is only 10 minutes of the show exists, and so it's very short. But I thought I would mention on this podcast that that episode from the week earlier than this Boston episode is about Jack's life story, which is always fun to hear. That's the earliest life story of Jack Benny that I think I've seen. He does it every once in a while throughout the years. The other piece that it's the earliest mention of Jack saying he's 39, and Don says that he's 42, and he really is, I believe, 42 at the time, but it's the first kind of 39 reference, and they'll go away from that, and he'll say he's younger than that in future seasons, because he plays around with being 36 for a while, and then 37 and 38, and eventually he sticks at 39. But this is the earliest reference I can think of to him actually saying he's 39. What else about this episode? It's just fun. Like I say, it's fun that it's in Boston. It's fun that next week he'll be in New York, he mentions. And, you know, of course, I was just in New York, so it's just kind of neat that to be going through those places at the same time of year that Jack did. So kind of gives me a new perspective on the whole thing. I hope you enjoy this episode. No Don Wilson this episode. We have a guest announcer instead of Don, but I think he does a pretty good job, and the whole episode is a pretty entertaining episode. So without further ado, I will let you enjoy Jack Benny episode from 75 years ago.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Johnny Green and his orchestra. This is Pat Weaver pinch-hitting for Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Yours Truly Is Truly Yours. Now is the time for springtime salads, and that makes it an ideal time to serve Jell-O as a salad. Jell-O combines perfectly with fruits and vegetables. Lime Jell-O, for instance, blends wonderfully well in salads with grapefruit slices. Orange Jell-O is delicious with sections of an orange and sliced bananas. Lemon Jell-O makes a grand combination with grated carrots and shredded canned pineapple. Try one of these delightful combinations as a salad real soon. It's another way to enjoy Jell-O's true fruit goodness. No other gelatin dessert can equal Jell-O's extra-rich fruit flavor. Every one of Jell-O's six flavors is good with an added goodness, satisfying with an added satisfaction. So if you want the best, always order Jell-O by name. Always insist on genuine Jell-O. We bring to you not the hero of Bunker Hill, not the catch of Cape Cod, not the dean of Harvard University, but who do you think?
Give up? Jell-O again. It's only me, folks. Were you fooled for a minute?
No.
Fine welcome to Boston. Well, anyway, here I am, 1 week in Baltimore, next week in Cleveland, this week Boston. Oh, I guess it's the gypsy in me. Say, Don, you've lost a lot of weight since last Sunday. Have you been on a diet?
No.
Well, what happened?
Well, I happen to be another announcer. You see, Don Wilson couldn't make it.
Oh, well, the streets are narrow here. He had a little trouble last year, you know. You know, that Wilson guy is pretty heavy.
I know, but the streets in Boston aren't that narrow.
They're not, eh? You know what happened yesterday?
No.
Two worms collided in the middle of Washington Street and held up traffic for 3 hours.
Is that a fact?
No, but I thought it might get a laugh, you know. So you're taking Wilson's place tonight, huh?
Yes, Weaver is my name. Patrick Henry Weaver. Henry, like in Ford.
Oh, I see.
And yours?
John Quincy Benny. Quincy, like in throat.
Tell me, are you enjoying your stay in Boston, Mr. Benny?
Yes, but don't be so formal. I mean, you can call me Jack, you know. Well,
thanks, Jack. You can call me Mr. Weaver.
Well, thank you. But I am having quite a time here. I spent a few days looking over the historical points of interest.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of American history connected with Boston.
Oh, yes.
You know, Paul Revere rode here.
That's right. Say, was that Rockingham Park or Narragansett? I don't know.
I don't know. I even forgot the name of the horse.
I think we did that joke last year, too, if I remember. Well, it's not important. Say, Pat, you're a stranger in our little group. Now, you won't feel offended if I give you a little advice, will you?
No.
You won't get mad?
No.
Promise now.
For heaven's sakes, what is it?
Well, come here a minute. Now, as Don Wilson probably told you, dignity is the keynote of this program. By that I mean, you only mention J-E-L-L-O with the six delicious F-L-A-V-O-R-S if it happens to fit. You know, don't drag it in.
You mean strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime?
Not so L-O-U-D. Somebody will hear you, you dope.
I'm sorry.
Well, just be careful, that's all. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes.
On behalf of our great Commonwealth, it affords me extreme pleasure to welcome you to Boston.
Well.
And I hope that your sojourn in this metropolis will be most diverting.
Well, thank you. And who may you be?
I may be the mayor, but at present I'm a dishwasher at Child's.
Well, a fraternity, brother, huh? Washer, drop a disher?
No, mopper, upper floor. Oh. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Nice fellow, wasn't he?
Charming.
What are we talking about, Pat?
Oh, about Boston in general.
Oh, yes. Well, I must say that it's a great thrill for me to be playing in Boston. You do meet such cultured and intelligent people.
Hello, Jack. What was that last line?
Oh, Kenny, I was just telling Pat that in Boston you meet such cultured and intelligent people.
You said the same thing about Cleveland.
I know, but I can't write new stuff every week. Oh, Kenny, this is our announcer for tonight, Mr. Weaver.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Well, how do you do? Have you seen much of Boston during your stay, Mr. Baker?
Oh, sure. I've been everywhere. This morning I was out to Harvard University.
Gee, I'll bet it was the thrill.
You can get 3-1 on that. What were you doing at Harvard, Kenny?
Well, as long as I was in Boston, I thought I'd stop by and pick up a degree.
Did you get one?
No, they're closed on Sundays.
Oh. Never mind. You can pick one up tomorrow.
Hello, Jack. Mm. Gee, I had a hard time finding this place.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to Boston.
Say, Jack, want to hear something?
What?
The cutest little Boston bull followed me all the way down the street and right up the steps of the studio.
He did?
Yes, and he's still here.
Well, maybe he's lost, Mary. Is there any identification on his collar?
Yeah, Officer 215.
Oh, that kind of a bull. Hello, officer.
Hello, Jack. Thought I'd drop in on you.
Isn't he cute?
Yeah. Say, Mary, I want you to meet our Boston announcer, Pat Weaver. He's taking Don Wilson's place this week.
Well, how do you do, Miss Livingston? I'm so glad to meet you. I've always been a great admirer of yours.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Weaver. We better understand each other right now. I'm a homegirl, and I don't live in taxis. You can keep your old diamonds and furs. Who wants them? And another thing, I get more kick out of a good book than a highball, so there.
But, Mary...
I've got a good mind to tell Mrs. Weaver.
Well, Miss Livingston, I didn't say anything.
But I know what you're thinking. You men are all alike. You love us, you marry us, and then you look around for a pinochle game.
Well,
you can't do that to me.
Why, Mary, all he said was he's glad to meet you.
Yes, but the way he said it. I suppose the next thing he'll do will invite me to dinner, and then what?
What are you talking about?
But, Miss Livingston, I wasn't going to ask you to dinner.
Oh, so I'm not good enough, huh? Well, you can keep your old New England boiled dinner. I don't like that kind of food anyway.
What
and another thing, a girl isn't safe anymore. Believe me, you wouldn't talk to me like that if my big brother was around. All you men do is
play, Johnny, will you play?
right. Just because I'm young and pretty, you think you can take me out. I've got
Mary.
Some Nerve.
That was Lost, played by Johnny Green and his orchestra, with Some Nerve by Mary. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction this evening, we are going to offer...
Oh, say, Jack.
Yeah?
How did you like that last number I played?
Oh, all right, Johnny, but you have been better. I thought your baton was a little off-key there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, just for that...
What?
Oh, never mind.
Well, anyway, tonight, folks, we are going to offer an unusual drama. Something entirely away from our regular...
Jack.
Yeah?
Are you going to the party tonight?
What party?
The one Johnny's aunt is giving. It's a big tea party.
It is?
Yeah, Johnny invited me.
Gee, I didn't hear anything about it. Who's going?
Kenny, myself, and the boys in the band.
Oh.
Weren't you invited?
No, this is the first I've heard about it.
Huh? Well, maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
Oh, I don't care. They parties, parties, parties. I'm sick of them. Gee, I went to one every night 12 years ago. Well, anyway, folks, as I said before, tonight we are going to offer an unusual drama, something entirely away from the...
Jack.
Yes, Kenny?
Do you mind if I quit early? I want to go to Johnny's party.
Oh, Kenny, what do you see in all these parties, parties? Why don't you stay home like I do?
Oh, then you haven't been invited, huh?
I'd rather stay home and practice my violin. La, 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 la.
Oh, Jack?
Yes, Johnny?
What time is it?
Oh. About 7:15. Say, Johnny, you know, I was only kidding before. I thought your number was all right.
Oh, I don't mind.
Say, have you seen much of Boston, Johnny, since you've been in town?
Yes, why?
Well, I just thought you know, I know the town pretty well, and if there are any of the local sites you want pointed out, I'll be glad to point at them for you, you know?
Well, thanks, but Boston happens to be my home.
Oh, well, I didn't know that, but Johnny, you know, there's an old saying that nobody knows less about a town than a man who was born there.
Well, I don't agree to that.
Wait a minute, you take my hometown, Waukegan. Why, until I was 18 years old, I never even knew where the railroad station was.
How'd you find out?
The sheriff showed it to him.
Oh.
He did not. Well, anyway, Johnny, I hear that your aunt is giving
Pardon me, Jack, will you? I've got to arrange some music.
Oh, okay, Johnny, okay. Do you need any help?
No, thanks.
Well, I just thought I'd be glad to...
Excuse me, I'll see you later.
All right. Say, Johnny, I was just thinking I'm not doing anything this evening, and would you like to join me in a little party? You know, where we can sit around and chat, you know.
I'm afraid I can't make it, Jack.
Oh, you mean you have other plans?
Yes.
Someplace else to go, huh?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You mean another party, for instance?
That's it.
Well, gee, Johnny, I certainly envy you. I wish I had someplace to go. You don't know what it means to be alone in a strange city.
No, I guess I don't. Well, so long, Jack.
Now, who wants to go out anyway? It's raining.
It won't be raining inside.
Gee, I'm tired. Oh, I don't feel like going anyplace anyway. Guess I'll go right to bed after the broadcast, you know.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Johnny.
doesn't Kenny have to sing his song now?
Yes, sing, Kenny. Oh, parties, parties, a bunch of kids.
Such a wonderful you, lovely you. You completely satisfy, I'm confessing that is why there's nobody like you. You, so much depends upon you, tell me true. Will it be my fate at all, will I ever rate at all with somebody like you? Just to think that you love me makes my future look strong. I swear by stars above me, I'm darned if I don't feel like writing a song about you. Music and words about you, lovely you. Let me think of phrases for let me sing out praises for nobody but you. You're the inspiration of my fondest dreams. Here's the situation, this is how it seems. You can make me happy, you can make me blue. All I am or hope to be is really up to you. About you, lovely you. Let me think up praises for, let me sing out praises for nobody but you.
Thank you, John.
Yes, sir. That was Kenny Baker singing You from the great Ziegfeld. And very well done, Kenny. That was well. You know, they like you here.
Thanks, Jack.
Say, Kenny, with that voice, I'll bet you'll be the life of the party tonight. Huh?
You said it. Gee, I hope there's dancing. No, Jack, I've been taking ballroom dancing from a girl who teaches me, and she says I'm doing fine.
Oh, ballroom dancing,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, one more lesson I can dance alone.
Is that so? Huh?
Come on, fellas, let's go. Hurry, Kenny. You too, Mary. We got to get going. We'll be late for the party.
Well, so long, Jack. Gee, I'm sorry you're not coming with us.
Oh, that's all right, Mary. I'll stay home and listen to the radio. There's a swell lecture on tonight, The Home Life of a Grasshopper. I don't want to miss it, you know.
Who's interested in a grasshopper?
Another grasshopper.
Well, so long, Jack. See you later.
So long.
Guys, I'll better have a swell time at that party.
Well, it's all right if you have nothing else to do, you know. I'm going to a theater and see Follow the Fleet for the 12th time.
Come on, Kenny. Come on, Kenny. Everybody's waiting. We'll get in your car. My car? I haven't got a car now.
You haven't?
No. Did you see that new telegraph pole on Tremont Street?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't.
Well, Mary, looks like they'll all have to go in your car.
I haven't got a car either.
You haven't? You had one yesterday.
You know that corner at the post office?
Yes.
Well, it isn't a corner.
Oh.
Oh, gosh, this is awful. We'll never get to the party. Hasn't anybody got a car?
La, 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 da, down, 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 da, dee, da, down, da, 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 da.
Oh, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you drive us to the party?
Well, I'd like to, Johnny, but, gee, while everybody's inside having fun, I don't want to stay outside and wait.
You know? Well, Jack, you don't have to stay outside and wait.
No, you can go home.
Oh, come on, Jack. Come on. Don't be stubborn. Come on along with us to the party.
Well, coax me. Well, if you insist, let's go. Huh?
Come on, fellas.
Hey, there's the car, boys. Hey, pile your instruments in the back.
Huh? Hey, Jack. Jack, yeah? I can't get the grand piano in the car.
Oh, no wonder. You forgot to put the top up.
Oh.
Hey, Roy, slide that trombone in.
Say, Jack, how can I get my cornet in?
I can't. What?
How can I get my cornet in?
Push the middle valve down.
Well, are you all set? Everybody in?
Yeah, okay, okay.
Well, that's fine. Let's go. Close the door, boys. Release the brake, Mary. Hey, Kenny, throw out the clutch. What was that?
Kenny threw out the clutch.
Play clutch. I mean, Johnny.
Thank you.
music and dance from the picture Follow the Fleet, played by Johnny Green and his orchestra with the piano on Johnny. Say, Mary, I want to see what street this is. Would you mind getting off my lap?
Sure, Jack. Say, Kenny, get off my lap, will you?
Okay. Say, Johnny, get off my lap. Oh, watch out, Jack. Watch out!
Oh, what's the matter, Kenny?
You almost hit a car.
Oh, I thought you were driving.
Hey, this is the place, Jack. Stop right here. Here we are, everybody out. Come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Hey, say, Johnny, you sure this is the right place? This is the waterfront.
I know, Jack. We have to take a robot out to the party.
A robot?
A rowboat.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, the party's on a yacht.
On a yacht, eh?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see it over there? It's all lit up. I guess the party's in full swing. Hey, here's a rowboat.
Hey, wait a minute, Johnny. We can't get in that dinky little boat. How deep is the water?
About 2 feet.
I don't mean in the boat.
Gee, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't worry, Kenny. If anything happens, I'll save you. You know, I used to be a lifeguard. Ask Mary.
Say, Mary, is Jack a good swimmer?
No, but he can wade like the devil.
Oh, we're wasting time. Let's get in the boat.
Yeah, women and children first.
Come on, Kenny.
Hey, don't push.
Gee, I'm afraid, too.
Mary, if you want to be afraid in this crowd, you'll have to stand in line.
Boy, this is a heavy load. Hey, who'll do the rowing?
Well, let's take turns. Who wants to be first? Mutiny on the rowboat. Come on, Johnny. Who's going to row first?
Say, Jack, you want to hear a riddle?
It's a fine time for riddles. What is it?
When you're in a theater, where do you like to sit?
Well, I like the first row.
Give him the oars, Johnny.
I should have known better.
Gee, I'm afraid.
Okay, Jack, shove off.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, be careful of the dock.
Okay.
You know, it's the oldest dock in the country.
Hey, Mary, what are you laughing at?
The country dock.
Boy, this is a tough pull. Say, Johnny, what kind of a party is your aunt giving?
Why, it's a patriotic affair to commemorate the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh.
Say, where's Mary?
Here I am, Jack. I just went below deck.
Below deck? This is a rowboat.
Oh, no wonder I'm all wet.
Oh, Jack, what was that Boston Tea Party about?
Well, as I remember it, they were having a little blowout in Boston Harbor, and the tea was too strong, so they threw it overboard.
They might have thrown the tea overboard, but they certainly ate the Jell-O with its new extra fritz, rich fresh fruit flavor.
Atta boy, Pat, that was fine. You didn't drag that in.
Much. So try Jell-O with its much delicious flavor. Oh. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange,
hey, wait
and
a minute, wait a minute, Pat. The lemon was left out.
Maybe they're saving it for the tea.
Bravo, bravo, Miss Livingston. That was very clever.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Weaver. I'm a homegirl, and I don't want to see any extras. And you can keep your flowers.
Oh, Mary, you're overdoing it. Say, Pat, what are you doing here on the boat?
Oh, I just thought I'd come along and help. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, get out and push.
Ahoy! Ahoy there!
Party coming up!
Lower the ladder!
All right, everybody!
Climb on board!
Oh, Jack!
What is it, Kenny?
I'm scared!
Oh, shut up! Boy, this is some yacht. Come on, Mary, climb up the ladder.
Where is it?
On page 8.
Ah, there's my aunt now. Good evening, Aunt Clementine.
Oh, there you are, you naughty boy. You're late.
Mary, get a load of Johnny's answer. What a ritzy dame.
Yeah, look at those eyeglasses on stilts. You may introduce me to your friends, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Auntie, this is Kennethon.
Oh, how do you do, Kennethon?
Hello.
And who is this young lady?
I'm Marathon.
Oh, Auntie, this is Miss Livingston.
How do you do, Miss Livingston? Are you of the East Smythe Livingstons of Salt Lake City?
No, Springfield.
Springfield?
That's what it says in my scribe.
That's a lot of treats.
And who is this distinguished-looking gentleman?
Allow me, I'm Jackathon Benny. My uncle is S. Van Dyke Chatsworthy Benny. Do you know him?
Yes, the louse.
I say, here comes Uncle Kensington. He's looking rather chipper, isn't he, Auntie?
Quite. Dear old Kensington is a new man since he recovered from his recent inhibited neurosis.
My, how utterly devastating. Was he in a bad way?
Rather. He went nuts, you know.
Oh, well, damn things will happen.
Uncle Kensington, I want you to meet my good friend, Mr. Bennett.
Hello, friends. Well, they'll strike me thinkers.
Why, Clever, where'd you get the name? Where'd you get a name like Kensington?
Huh? It's fictitious. Oh. It's what I call a nom de plume. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Schleff. Well, I must toddle along and rejoin my guest. Au revoir, Schleffington.
Toodle do, second mate.
Second mate?
Yes, I was married twice.
Oh.
Hey, Jack, is this a swanky party? We got here the sweet cream of society.
Oh, the 400 are here, huh?
450. They brought their friends. Jacket, don't be a wallpaper. We got plenty of food. Caviar, chicken, turkey, and whatnot.
I'll take the drumsticks.
Drumsticks? This is a Boston Tea Party, not the spirit of 76. Come on, Jack, there's plenty to eat, by Jove. Don't be bashful. Have a cookie.
Schleff, this is too much.
All right, break it in half. Here, have a cup of tea.
A cup of tea? Oh, boy, that's just what I need.
I'll have another cup of tea. Get into the spirit.
Be careful, Jack.
Say, this isn't bad, you know.
Here, have another cup.
Hey, what's the idea of a spoon in it?
To keep the lemon down, you dopey.
Hey, this tea is all right.
Sure, come on, have another cup. It's stimulating.
You forgot the sugar.
All right, here.
Thanks.
Now I have another cup. It's flabbergasting, I'm telling you.
Wait a minute, this is the eighth cup.
Don't be a teetotal. Come on, Jackie boy, have another cup. It's nauseating.
Oh, Kensington.
Yes, Clementine.
The guests are all assembled for the annual ceremony. Come on, everybody, gather around. It's time to throw the tea overboard.
Leave it to me, Mama. Stand aside.
Look out below! Wait a minute, Schlepp. Wait a minute, you're throwing me overboard. What's the idea?
What can I do? You drank all the tea.
Play, Johnny.
Here's a special announcement for you who are listening to station WJZ, either in metropolitan New York or New England. Jell-O is introducing a new product in your territory. Its name is Jell-O Ice Cream Mix, and with it you can make the best ice cream you've ever tasted. Jell-O Ice Cream Mix comes in five luscious flavors: vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, orange, pineapple, and tutti frutti. The three fruit flavors are actual fruits in their own sweetened juices. The vanilla and chocolate syrups are wonderfully rich and mellow. Each flavor freezes to smooth, flawless perfection in the trays of your automatic refrigerator. Just open a can of Jell-O Ice Cream Mix, add some milk, some whipped cream, pour the mixture in the tray of your automatic refrigerator, stir just once during the freezing, and you'll have your ice cream, six generous portions of it, rich, fluffy, amazingly smooth and creamy. Real luxury ice cream. Ask your grocer for Jell-O Ice Cream Mix tomorrow. And if he hasn't it in stock yet, be sure he orders it for you. Don't accept any substitutes. There's no better way of making truly fine ice cream than Jell-O Ice Cream Mix. Remember the name, Jell-O Ice Cream Mix.
Of the 31st program in the new Jell-O series. And we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time, broadcasting from New York City. Oh, Pat, I want to thank you for helping us out tonight.
Oh, that's all right. I was glad to do it. So long, Jack.
So long, Pat.
And goodbye, Miss Livingston. It's been a pleasure knowing you.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something. I've said about enough from you. If you think that I'm a kind of a girl that you can just toss aside like a cat's off shoe, you have another guest.
Oh, good night, folks. Good night.
J-E-L-L-O. Captain Bloom has done a production, She Loves Me Not. This program has come to you from station WBZ in Boston. This is the National Broadcasting Company.